The International Ministers Conference is God's strategy to set your life and ministry on course. Welcome to the International Ministers Conference 2022, positioning your life and ministry for the end time news of God.
Lift those two hands unto Him and just bless Him. Shamranamaya. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are. Lift your hands.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are. Oh, Jesus. What a wonder you are.
Oh, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus.
Lift your hands and bless.
What a wonder you are.
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are.
Let's sing one more time.
Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
What a wonder you are.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for the heavy load and the downpour of your grace through your anointed vessels. Thank you, Lord, for the apostle, for Mama, for everyone that is a part of this meeting. Thank you for that which has been ordained for this section and for bringing us into alignment with your eternal plans and purposes. We give you praise. Lord, we open our hearts again to receive of you. And Lord, I declare our eyes of understanding be enlightened in the name of Jesus. That your word will come line upon line and precept upon precept to guide, to establish, and to for us to be impacted, and that your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let somebody say amen. Now, please, before you take your seat this morning, I want us to celebrate Apostle Femi Lazarus again. Please do it. And celebrate Pastor Miracle Femi Lazarus. Please celebrate them. Let's do it. Let's do it with excitement, with joy. He has said a lot. I'm speechless. I'm short of words. But I want to thank you so much, Sam, for your love and then for your genuine heart. You are not fake. You are genuine. And then your heart is pure. And I'm not surprised with what the Lord is doing in your life. And you're a blessing to me, to my family, to our ministry, to everyone around you. And we do not take that for granted, sir. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you so much for loving the people of God genuinely. Thank you so much for shouldering and carrying the heart of God to make a way for the people. We love you. And then we celebrate you. And then we know that this is just a whisper of His power. I believe that greater things are unfolding. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle. Please celebrate, Apostle. I love you, sir. I love you, man. Hallelujah. And let me say this. Now, I'm not saying this because he's here. And I'm not saying this because Mama is here. I know them. You know, there are fathers that don't know the names of their spiritual children. And they don't know the ministries of their spiritual children. And then sometimes they do this by proxy. And then fathering by proxy. Now, like I said yesterday, we're such a free flow nation. It's a divine design. By configuration, they are not ordained to be great in life. But because of wrong alignment. And they found themselves in the hands of shepherds who abused them. And then the rest is history. And then, so I want to appreciate you, sir, and appreciate you, man, for the great work you are doing, and then for your heart. Please help me celebrate them again. Hallelujah. Like I told Apostle before, coming up, I'm going to be praying for him and then for Mama, but I'm not going to be doing that now. I sense I should teach first, and I don't want to enter into the prophetic. There is something the Lord has in mind, and then I want to appreciate God for the great servant of God that delivered the word, Pastor Ayo Ajani. Please celebrate him in absentia. Please do it, do it, do it. The quality of the teachings, the quality of the word that we just listened to is out of this world, is uncommon. And then it goes to show that God has his vessels of recovery everywhere. God has his holy remnant everywhere. No matter all, you know, the misrepresentation going on in some segments of the body of Christ and by some people. Now, we are rest assured our hearts are strengthened and assured that God has reserved in this generation a remnant that will correctly represent and replicate the intent of God. And that is what the man of God that just stood before us to minister and represent. So I want to celebrate the grace of God upon his life in absentia. Glory to God. That was such a wonderful, powerful teaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. I want to celebrate all the ministers in the house. Please let me celebrate Pastor Dr. Tony Olojugba Peter. Please celebrate him, celebrate him. He's a great son. I celebrate you, sir. Thank you for coming. God bless you, sir. Glory to God. Help me celebrate Pastor Femi James. I celebrate you, sir. Thank you, sir, for coming. And then Pastor James Samuel, I celebrate you. Pastor Shegwa Deyemi, I celebrate you, sir. And then Pastor Joe Deyemi, I celebrate everyone. I celebrate everyone. And please help me celebrate my PA, the resident pastor of Feeding Center Church, Leife, Pastor Shola Shogunle, with his lovely fiancée, Dr. Damilola Titiloye. Please help me celebrate. Celebrate yourself. Celebrate yourself. Hallelujah. Now, before I go into the teaching, now, I want to recommend this book. You know, sometimes when we gather at a conference like this and then we will receive all the streams of ministrations, there are materials that God has actually, you know, ordained to bring us into the fullness of our inheritance. I have gone through it. I have read it. And then it's not a book you read and then you get bored. I read it from A to Z. This is prophetic. This is apostolic. This is a gift to the body of Christ. The final move of God. And please celebrate Apostle again. Thank you, sir, for bringing this forth. And then try as much as possible to get a copy of this, you know, in the course of this conference. And so that you can read. I have over close to like 700 books in my library. You know, you need to read it to update yourself so that you don't get outdated. You need to be a bookworm so that you don't become lukewarm. The Lord help us all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please, let's take our seat in God's wonderful presence. Hallelujah. I want to trust the Lord to teach this morning. And then there are certain things that the Lord has laid on my heart. And then I've been asked by the apostle to share with us on the topic, critical trainings for relevance in the agenda of God. Critical trainings for relevance in the agenda of God. Critical trainings for relevance in the agenda of God. And then I believe that this is my house. Amen. And by the grace of God, I will be so free to share from my heart. And then what the Lord has blessed us with, and so that we don't hold anything back, and then we just make it as clear to the people of God. Amen. Glory to God. Can someone say critical trainings for relevance in God's agenda? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then so it will be systematic. Now, I believe that there is nothing that is as suicidal as being alive and not been part of God's agenda. You are alive. You are living. But God is moving. You are not a part of it. Now, the Spirit of God is moving in your generation. And then you are even an eyewitness of it. You can see it. But you see, you are not a part of it. There is nothing that is a suicide as being alive. But you are not actively involved or engaged with the agenda of God or the move of God in your generation. And it's important to realize, and then that sometimes when the Lord is moving, it's not everybody that is going to be a part of the move of God. Now, even though by divine design, by divine ordination, God wants everyone to be a part of his move, because the move of God captures, you know, different people, all races, colors, and nationalities. Remember Joel chapter number 2, and then from verse 28, it says, "Shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." All flesh. Can somebody say all flesh? Now, all flesh talks about all peoples of all cultures, all races, creeds, religious affiliations, or what have you. So, God is not a God of gender. He's a God of agenda. In other words, God wants everyone to be a part of his move on the face of the earth. I quoted a scripture yesterday night in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I said, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and we are made to drink into the same spirit. And so God wants everyone to be part of it. Now, both the Jews and the Gentiles, both the bond, the free, the white, the blacks, and the Protestant, the Catholics, and everyone that belongs to whatever block of the Christian faith, God wants everyone to be a part of his move on the face of the earth. Now, so if you're part of the body of Christ, it is your exclusive privilege, therefore, to be a part of the agenda of God on the earth. But you see, time has shown, and of course, experience has shown, and history has also shown, that not everyone who is alive in a generation is part of the agenda of God for that generation. It's very, very important. Not everyone that is alive, as in living, that is a critical part or participant of the move of God in a generation. And so many factors are responsible for this. So when you hear people say, well, God has ordained some people to be part of his move on the earth, and then some people will not be part of the move, that is not correct. God wants everyone to be captured. But you see, the human willingness to cooperate with the purpose and the agenda of God is a variable. That's important. And that is why it did say that there is nothing that is as suicidal as being alive, but you are not involved or actively engaged in the agenda of God in your generation. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now we're going to look at scriptures. We're going to look at scriptural patterns. Now what is from the Lord laid on my heart is this. We look at such trends, traits, or patterns that actually prevent people from being part of the agenda of God. And the things that you can do to actually be a part of the move of God. Now, don't assume that the fact that the Spirit of God is moving, everyone is aware that the Spirit of God is moving. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 2, remember when Paul came to Ephesus, he saw some disciples of John the Baptist, they were like 12. And he asked them and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not heard about any Holy Ghost. See, we've not heard about the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost and came mightily upon 120 disciples and exploded for the Lord like living explosives, missiles. But there were certain people in that generation who were not aware that the Holy Spirit was moving. Amen. And so Paul engaged them. He said, unto what baptism were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. He said, John indeed preached the baptism of repentance. But and you shall be baptized in the name of Jesus. So he baptized them and laid hands on them. And the scripture says, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Amen. 12 of them. And then from there, the move of God started in Ephesus. So it is important to understand that the fact that God is moving in a particular generation does not mean that everyone will be part of that move. Not because God does not want them to be part of that move, but because some people have just decided not to be part of the move of God. Now let's look at some trends here, some factors here. Number one, there are four things that can be responsible for this. Number one is ignorance. Now, if you are ignorant of the things of the Spirit, you cannot participate in the things of the Spirit. If you are ignorant, whatever you are ignorant of, you cannot partake of, you cannot participate in. We have not heard, or if there be any Holy Spirit. And he said, we've not heard about him at all. The number two is what I call religion. You see, what religion is going to do for you? Religion is going to set a table before you without putting food on it. Are you following me? Now, some people are believers. They are Christians, new creation, by spiritual rebirth or by spiritual birth, but they are religious in their thinking. Jesus came on the face of the earth, and then he came with a heavy load of grace and power, and then moving mightily. We see the account that we have in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that oppressed of the devil, said, for God was with him. So the Lord Jesus came, but there was this sect of people that opposed the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was something that held them down. They were called the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. And a Pharisee is someone who is too far to see. So you don't need to actually be a Jew to be a Pharisee. If you are too far to see, to capture what God is showing you, you are a Pharisee. Are you following me? So the Pharisees were too far to see. And so they were a religious set of people. And little wonder in Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. The first message of Jesus, when Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the word repentance is metanion. It's a change of mind. A change of mindset. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, change the way you think. So, Jesus was trying to let them see what he carried from heaven. He was trying to let them see what his ministry represented. But he said, these were people who were so religious. See, religion is a blindfolding weapon in the hand of the enemy, not to make a believer to see spiritual realities. No matter the volume of your tongues, if you are religious or you are religiously inclined, you are not going to see what the Lord is showing you. And so, Now somebody said, well, the word of God cannot be void. The word of God cannot be void. The word of God cannot be invalidated. Now, see, there is something that can make the word of God void. And I didn't say that. The scripture says in Matthew chapter number 15 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus told the Sanhedrin, he said, you have made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. Verse 6, you have made the word of God of no effect through your tradition. Now, let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. And honor not his father or his mother, and he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Glory to God. Believers don't live by tradition, we live by revelation, the revelation of the Spirit. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness as shining in our hand to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 6. So, religion is a potent weapon in the hand of the enemy that can make the word of God void. No matter how deep, how great you have received the word, if you are religiously inclined, you're religiously minded, that's what is not going to produce result in your life. Now remember, in Luke chapter number 13, there was a woman who was, you know, bound by the spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and Jesus got to the temple, and he said, woman, thou art loosed. And then the religious people came up and they said, why must you lose somebody on the Sabbath day? Why must you heal on the Sabbath day? You agree with me that healing is a form of the move of the Spirit. Am I correct? Because it happens by the power of the Spirit. So that's the Spirit of God moving. And then, so there was so much held in the enclave of their religious bigotry that they could not realize that God was moving at that particular time. And then the Lord Jesus told them and said, who among you, say you are hypocrites, who among you will not lose his ox to the waters and then to lead to the waters to drink on the Sabbath day? And he said, oh, not this woman be the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound his 18 years, be free. Glory to God. They were religious people. And Jesus told them in Matthew 22 and in verse 29, he said, you do hear not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Please, now let me say this. One of the words the Lord put on my heart this morning is, if you are not flexible, you are not usable. If you are not flexible in the hand of the Lord, you cannot be used. If you are too rigid, you are not bendable, you are not bindable, you are not leadable, then you are not usable. And God wants to use people amazingly and such that we are a part of the move of God. Number three is wrong teaching. Can someone say wrong teaching? Let's say louder, say wrong teaching. Now, it's a wrong teaching. We also make some people to be part of the move of God. See, 1 Timothy 4:1, it said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith." Now look at it. Now you cannot depart from the faith if you have not been in the faith. Now meaning that the people that depart from the faith have been in the faith. Now it say, "Giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils." Doctrines of devils. So when you are taught wrongly, you can't be part of the move of God. Let me give some practical examples. Now, for instance, if there is a move of the spirit in the body of Christ in the realm of, let's say, prosperity, financial prosperity, or material prosperity, to the end that the kingdom of God, the frontiers of the kingdom be expounded, you know, and God is bringing that move. It's not, you know, something that is orchestrated by man. It's God's agenda. And then, but you are taught wrongly that prosperity is a badge of righteousness. Prosperity is not of God. Prosperity means you are not holy. There is no way you are going to be part of the move of God in prosperity. Am I correct? Now, if God is moving in the realm of healing, the healing power of God is moving, and then that is a major move of God to make people recover from sicknesses and diseases by the intervention of God's supernatural power. But you are taught that God has inflicted this sickness on me because of a sin I committed, or because I made a gaffe, I committed an error. Now, you just believe wrongly. There is no way you are going to be part of that move of God. So the scripture talks about seducing spirit and doctrines of the devils. Now look at it. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. We're going to verse 3 now. "Speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat which God has created to be received with thanks." I say, I know the truth. You know, I've seen a lot of religious people. Now I see somebody's ministering healing and it's got the healing power of God on his life. And that's a minister. And they say, "Yes, I know that it's anointed to heal the sick, but I am not going to receive his ministry because he's putting on agbada or he's putting on a flowing gown." Now, what's the relationship between the virtue that he carries and then his style of dressing? That's what religion does. It sets a table before you in expectation and anticipation to eat, but there's no food on that table. Don't be religious. Religion is empty. Religion is empty. And it's lifeless. The scripture says, "Ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Then number four is what I call stubbornness. Can someone say stubbornness? Some people are stubborn. They are adamant. They are rigid. Let me just quote two scriptures here. I quoted this scripture yesterday. Now see, the Lord Jesus, he wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that killed the prophet and persecuted those who are sent to them." Now let's read Matthew 23:37-39. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. Now look at it. "Now, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophet and stoned them that are sent unto thee, how often will I have gathered thy children together as the hen doth gather a brood under her wings? And you would not." The next verse. "You would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." The next verse. Now look at it. Now let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. "For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now let's read a companion scripture. A companion scripture. Now look now. Luke chapter number 19 from verse 41. Luke chapter 19 from verse 41. "Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when he was come near Jerusalem, he beheld the city and wept over it." He wept over it. You know, when you read the scriptures, you realize Jesus marveled at two things. He marveled at unbelief. And number two, he marveled at faith. He marveled at unbelief when he began, when we brought the power of God to heal the people. But they did not believe him. They said he was a carpenter. And he marveled at their unbelief. And he began to teach. And again, he marveled at faith when the centurion said, just speak the word only. Now, he marveled and said, I've not seen such a great faith in the land of Israel. But in this particular instance, Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. Got it? Over, look at what, why was he weeping? Now we're going to 44, verse 42 now, the next verse. Verse 40, saying, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day. Can somebody say in this thy day? That was a day of visitation. That was a day that the Spirit of God was moving. In this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, the things that will have come to you by alignment, the things that will have come to you by cooperating with me, the things that will have come to you by open-mindedness, the things that will have come to you by shifting from rigidity to flexibility. Now, but now they are hid from thy eyes. The next verse. For the day shall come upon thee that the enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee and keep thee on every side. Now verse 44 is a powerful scripture. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. I shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now lift up your right hand, say in the name of Jesus. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time, and now is a day of salvation. I'm praying for somebody today that there is going to be a fresh baptism of sensitivity to divine timings. You will know your times and seasons. You will not miss your times and seasons. Today I command, let there be a fresh release of the Issachar anointing. Let it mantle upon you as a garment. Let it mantle upon you. It will no longer be activity without accuracy. You shall be accurate. You will know the mind of God in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now say the scripture tells us about the sons of Issachar. They were men who understood the times and the seasons, who knew what Israel had to do. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. Meaning that no matter the energy dissipated on a particular project or in a particular direction, if you miss the time and the season, it amounts to vain labor. Glory to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. After a long search, Solomon, he went on a long search. And then he said, I retain the son that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, and I yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance appointed to them all. So no matter how loaded you are, no matter how gifted you are, no matter how resourceful you are, no matter how cerebral you are, no matter how anointed you are, if you miss your time or your season, all the things that you have received will come to naught. They will not be manifested. You will be sensitive to divine timing. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so these people were stubborn. And so they miss their time of visitation. But you see, the time is going to come. The scripture tells us again in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus is going to come in the second advent. I believe you know that there's a difference between the rapture and the second advent. The rapture is Jesus coming for the saint. The second advent, Jesus coming with the saint. When Jesus comes for the saint, now not all eyes will see him. The believers will see him. So by beholding him, 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, but we know that when we believers, we shall see him, the scripture says, we shall be like him. So it is not everyone. So in the rapture, not every human being will see Jesus. In the second advent, when Jesus comes and he stands on Mount Olives in Revelation chapter 1, and he's been on Mount Olives, the scripture says the Jews will look on him, whom they have pierced, and he will tell them, it is still me, with me. It is still me that you persecuted several centuries ago. Now look at the hands. Look at the my hands. Look at the legs. And then they're now reconciled unto favor with God. Now that is a component of a teaching on eschatology. And then we have to go through all of the fires of tribulation. Why? Because they missed a major move of God. Now see, when a man misses the move of God at a particular time, he struggles to actually get things done. The move of God comes with a flavor of divine ease to get seemingly impossible things done by the power of the Spirit. And the moment you realize that and that you just key into it, and then you are not stereotyped. You just open up the valve. You break, you know, the stereotypes, and then you open up new horizons. You see that the Spirit of God is going to be ventilating your heart with those realities, and you are going to partner in and participate in the practical sense of it, in that reality that the Lord has shown you. So number four is what I call stubbornness. Glory to God. Stubbornness. It can make a man not to, you know, to be part of the agenda of God, the move of God. Now, religion makes you to focus on the non-essentials. Now, religion makes you to be preoccupied with the accessories while you leave the essentials. Now, listen to this. Look at it. Look at it. In Matthew 23, verse 23. Now, look at what the Lord Jesus said. He said, Jesus made mention of tithing. And then a lot of controversies have arisen, you know, on the story of tithing and what have you. Now, Jesus said, warn to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithes and mint and honey and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. The weightier matters of the law. It's not saying you shouldn't pay tithe. It says, as you do that, that there are other weightier matters. What are the weightier matters of the law? Judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the undone. Now, it's like a student in a university who passes all the elective courses but fails all the core courses. He's going nowhere. And that is what religion does. Religion makes you to be confident and to be excellent, to be successful in seemingly, you know, non-essential matters. But you leave the essentials, and then that is how people get cut off from the move of God. So that's the first part. Now look at it. I said it's a teaching, so I don't want, let me just flow with the Spirit. Now the significance of training scripture. Glory to God. You need to be trained. Glory to God. I need to be trained. Now, Mark chapter 3, verse 13, the Lord Jesus ordained so that they might be with him and then he might send them forth. So he trained them. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the scripture says they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they had been with Christ. Now, they were trained by him. Galatians chapter 4, from verse 1. It says, I say to you that the heir, as long as he's a child, different not from a servant, though he be the Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors. Until the time appointed of the Father. So he's trained, he's groomed until he can handle inheritance. Now let me say this to you. Now it takes maturity to manage autonomy without supervision. If you are not mature, you are not trained, you will not be able to handle autonomy. You are going to abuse autonomy. So you want to handle autonomy without supervision, it takes, you know, training. So the primacy and the significance of training is accentuated on the pages of scriptures. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 16, is all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, do you know that part of your training is that you are corrected? Part of the training, you are instructed. Now, that's very, very important. Now, how will you say God is your father? You can read Hebrews chapter number 12. If you rebuff correction. It's when we accept corrections that he dealeth with us as sons and not as bastards. Now, there are people. Now, one of the things you will notice in the leading of the Spirit in your life is that a major component of the leading of the Spirit in your life will constitute divine corrections. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 23 says, turn at my reproof, and I will pour my Spirit upon you and make my words known unto you. So you can't tell me that you are led by the Spirit and then you are proficient in being led by the Spirit. And then you have to yourself some a couple of years without seasons of divine correction. Correction is part of the curriculum of training in the school of the Spirit. So you are corrected. Now he says, turn ye at my reproof. That means a time comes in your life that you have to turn. You are looking at a direction, but God says, turn. And so that means there has to be adjustments in your life. It's part of the training. Now, no matter all the things you have been taught in the medical school, and then for like 6 years, during your housemanship, they cannot commit certain things to your hands as a young doctor. So you are put under a senior reg, you are put under a consultant, they put you through. And sometimes there are house officers that don't know how to set line. So they learn it by training. Now, in law, for instance, you go to the law school. You study law in the university. In the law school, they teach you, you know, procedural law. How you appear in court, all the procedural, you know, components of the legal practice. That's what training is. And so in the course of doing that, you can make a gap and commit some errors. You are corrected. That's very, very important. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now let's read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews 5:8. Though he was son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? Glory to God. All right. So now let's go into the teaching proper. Now there are certain things the Lord has laid on my heart, and I want to share from my heart. Based on scripture, like I said, I believe this is my house. And I believe the apostle has given me the latitude to share within the presence of scriptures. Amen. Now you see, some of the things I intend to share have been re-emphasized and re-echoed in the course of this conference. But I will make it clear without embellishment. And I trust the Spirit of God to do that. I want to show us 10 areas of training. 10 critical areas that you need to get yourself trained if you want to be relevant in God's agenda. To get yourself trained. Now, I want to say this. In the kingdom, there are no defending champions. There are only current champions. So let me put the word champions in inverted commas. So that means it throws a challenge to us, therefore, to always maintain a current form. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, it said, but we all with open face, so you don't have to close your eyes, with open face. So you are not stereotyped. Beholding us in the mirror, the glory of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So the level to which you open yourself to the transformational force of the Spirit will determine the level of change in your life, will determine the level or the gravity of the weight of God's glory upon your life. So in the kingdom, we maintain the fire. You keep updating yourself. You keep working on yourself. You keep trusting the Spirit of God to lead, to guide, and to submit. That you preach well today is not a guarantee that you preach well in 6 months' time. If you don't keep the fire burning. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. I listened to a message by Bishop David Oyedepo in year 2004. And it was a minister's conference. And then it was a video. Now, and he was preaching on spiritual meat for ever increasing strength. And he said, let us go back to his table and feed. So that those clapping for us today will not gather to mock us tomorrow. Let's go back to his table and feed. It is possible to be relevant in the move of God yesterday, but you are not relevant in the move of God today. There is a place of consistency in your walk with God. And this is very, very important. So without belaboring the point, let's just go straight. Number one, which I believe that you need to get yourself trained, is what I call doctrinal balance. What did I say? Now, I believe that when there is a move of God, the proclivity, the predisposition and propensity to make gaps and commit errors is on the high side. Amen. And then, see, no matter the strength or the weight of the move of God at a particular time, in the midst of that move, the moment you cave in to a doctrinal error that becomes a major theology that drives your ministerial adventure, you are out of the move. You're out of it. It's there in scripture. It's there in scripture. We have seen people who were on fire for Jesus, but they just put a scripture and they took it out of context. And it became the major driving force of their ministry. And that particular mentality became the bottleneck, became an albatross for them. So they could not move on with the things of the Spirit. Now let me give you some examples here. In Acts chapter 6, 7 deacons were ordained, including Philip, Stephen, and Nicholas. Wave your hand, somebody. Now, I believe, now, the scripture tells us about Stephen, that he was a man of great wisdom. It manifested signs of wonder. So, most probably, I'm still coming to discipleship, most probably, he could have ascended later into the office of an apostle. Because I'm going to say something. It is one thing for you to receive a call upon your life. It's another thing to grow into the stature of that calling. There are two different things. You can be called as a babe. You can carry a calling upon your life as a babe, potentially. But you will have to grow into the stature of that calling. Now, Bible history, church history tells us that there is, and then a great number of people believe this. Now look at the criteria that were reeled out in Acts chapter 6. We just have to write some of these scriptures because of time. Now, men of honest report, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. And among them was Nicholas. And then in the same generation, now Philip was a deacon. And Philip, by partnering, working with God, God moved him into the office of an evangelist. Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. The scripture calls him Philip the evangelist. So there was something God was doing with that generation, the move of God. But this particular guy fell into doctrinal error and started a sect. And then, which propounded a doctrine that is referred to as the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And the Lord Jesus expressed displeasure at that doctrine. He said, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I ate. Now, Revelation, look at it. Revelation, chapter number 2. You can just write it down. Verse 6. And look at verse 15 too. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, you don't hear much about that man eventually. Even though he started on the notes of a mighty move of the Spirit. But by getting involved in doctrinal error, you didn't hear much about him. Look at it. And ask also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I ate. So you have to be doctrinally sound. I don't talk down doctrine. The foundation of God's throne is built on wisdom and power. The scripture tells us, how great are thy works, Lord, in wisdom you have made them whole. And again, the scripture says, how Lord God has made the heaven and the earth by the great power, is nothing is too difficult for thee in the foundation of God's power. Then the scripture now tells us in 1 Corinthians, like we look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let's start reading from verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 21. Now for after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God with the fulness of preaching to save them that believe. The next verse. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews, you know why they require a sign? They had a trajectory of signs and wonders. Right from the time of their exodus, God displayed many signs, diverse miracles. God rained manna from heaven. So many things that Moses did for them. By the power of God. Now, Exodus chapter 4 verse 17. Thou shalt take this rod in thy hand. Wherewith thou shalt do signs. So they were acquainted with signs and wonders. Signs and wonders was in their historical DNA. So they require a sign. The scripture now says, let's go back to that scripture. The Jews seek after wisdom. Some say they want to explore the mental space. Some of those dominant philosophies, Socrates, Aristotle, and what have you, they come from Greeks. Glory to God. They say, but the scripture now tells us, the next verse, but we pray Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. Why? Because they were expecting a great sign. So when Jesus was coming, they expected him to come in the mien and the similitude and the stature of a political Messiah, but was born in Bethlehem. And so it became a stumbling block to them. And then for the Greeks, foolishness. How will you tell me that somebody died, they spilled his blood, shed his blood, and the blood saved the whole of humanity? That's foolish, my friend. Sit down. Foolishness. Now look at the next verse. Verse 24. This way I'm going. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read. 1, 2, 3, go. But to them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. There is a power dimension. All the dimensions of power and wisdom revolve in Christ. So Christ is a repository of all the dimensions of God's power and wisdom. Very important. And that is why, I want to emphasize this again. Doctrinal soundness. Can somebody say doctrinal soundness? Let's say it again. Say doctrinal soundness. You need to be sound in doctrine. Now, so you can read Revelation 2, 12 to 16. Jesus reprimanded the church at Pergamos for having the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And then he told the church at Ephesus that even though they were able to design the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which he hated. Then we have a man called Alexander. I will not go into details. He withstood the words of the Apostle Paul. You don't hear much about them in scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. There is a guy called Diotrephes in 3 John verse 9 to 11. Then we have other false teachers. Paul warned against false teachers. He said, I charge you that you contend for the faith. It's in the book of Jude, Jude verse 3 and 5. Let's look at it. Jude 3 and 5. Beloved, when I gave diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, to exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith which was delivered unto the saints. The next verse. Now, why did he say that? He says, some among you, they have crept in unawares who were ordained of old unto this condemnation, ungodly men, tending the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. I have seen from experience down through history, by reading church history, and then with my few years of experience as a believer and as a minister, I have seen from experience that people who take the doctrine of grace to the extreme, and they make it a license for licentiousness or lasciviousness, sexual immorality, and then they take it to the extreme without control. Many times, they are not relevant to the agenda in the move of God. Take it. Study it by yourself. They could blow for some time, in quotes, but with time, they begin to nosedive. Because doctrinal error is corrosive in nature. And when it runs PM like this, a generation can be wasted because of doctrinal error. And a generation can be saved because of doctrinal accuracy. Very, very important. So, just name them. Different people that came up with different doctrines that are not in line with scriptures. So please, you have got to stand in the word of God. Let me say this. Every move of God is anchored on the revelation of scriptures. Meaning that every move of God has prophetic roots. On the day of Pentecost, when they were highly flabbergasted, aghast, and they said, what minute is? Peter said, this is that which was said by prophet Joel. So, the move of God always has a point of reference in scriptures. Without scriptures, the move will be ruptured. It's important we understand it. And then we are guided by scripture. People have the propensity to take and magnify a truth that is emphasized strongly by the Spirit in a particular move of God and place it above the general revelation of scriptures. And when that happens, they lose their place in God's agenda. You will not lose your place. I said, you will not lose your place. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, before you start following people in ministry, ask yourself, what is the end of their conversation? Hebrews 13 verse 7. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Amen. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you what? The word of God. He said, whose faith follow. So if somebody is not following the word of God, submitted to the word, he does not have followable faith. Not every man of God is followable. A man that is not following Christ is not followable. He said, when you want to follow, consider the end of your conversation. There are people that say, well, we don't need to fast again. Amen. Because in the wilderness, Jesus fasted for us for 40 days and 40 nights. But that's not correct. Jesus did not fast for, he fasted for himself. Because he wanted to start ministry. There are people that say, when a believer slides into sin, he doesn't need to confess that, Lord, I'm sorry. And I take advantage of the provision of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. But the scripture tells us in 1 John 1, 7 that if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are people that say, when you commit sin, it is your body that does it, your spirit is saved eternally. We have seen some of this. Eventually, when you look at it, mark it, they are not relevant in the agenda of God. With all the scriptural indices and parameters to measure relevance in the agenda, they are not there. Because of doctrinal error. It's very, very important. There are people that say, well, the Holy Spirit does not lead people again in marriage. All we do now is to shine our eyes. But you see, in Christ, we don't shine our eyes, we shine our spirits. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart spirit to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And they say, well, you know what? God doesn't leave people again. After God, you know, gave Eve to Adam, and Adam complained and said, God, the woman you gave me, it was the one who caused it. God decided not to give people wives again. And then you see a generation, they buy into it. And when you look at it, they abandon on the dunghill of history. This is very important. And so it is important that we learn from the mistakes of history. Peter warned against, you know, false teachers. And then we cannot treat false teachers with deodorants. Why we treat false prophet with insecticide? Praise God. I saw one of the quotes by the media. I was just scrolling and then I saw a statement that one of the, I don't know the person that made the statement. I just saw that a false teacher is more dangerous than a false prophet. Wave your hands. So we cannot treat false prophets with insecticide. And then we treat false teachers with deodorants. And then we are just spraying it on them. They have more capacity to cause potential damage. One day I was preaching in the city of Ilorin. I was preaching for a friend of mine. And then I began to share some things along this line. And two young men stood up. And they said, well, all those things, we don't confess. You see, I teach the word that we don't confess sin to be saved. We confess Jesus to be saved. Correct. That's doctrine. But you, a believer who slides into sin is like a car that suddenly has an accident. You repair it and then you move on. Are you following me? He said, Lord, I'm sorry. That is godly sorrow. You can't tell me grace does not prompt you to do anyhow. The grace of God that appeared unto us is a teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Those guys withstood me like Alexandra withstood Paul. I just drove off. And my friend called me later that the two of them, they came, they were prostrating. They were ministers. They were crying. They said, they were very sorry that they should beg me. I said, well, I didn't put that in mind. I just prayed for them that the Lord is going to open their eyes. You know, errors, that again said, errors run in cycles. Errors run in cycles. There is nothing we see today. Today, it's not new. People have seen it before. It's not new. So it is our privilege to learn from the mistakes of history so that we don't repeat the mistakes of history. Very important. This is very important. The move of God as prophetic roots, the testimony of Jesus, is a spirit of prophecy. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. And the 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 and 21. No, knowing this so that no prophecy of scripture come by private interpretation. But the holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I saw. Now let me just give some keys here. How do you stay accurate in doctrine? One, don't interpret scripture in isolation. No. That is a law. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, it said every word shall be established. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. This third time I come to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Then Isaiah 34 verse 16. Now it says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. None of this shall fail, none shall want amend. For my mouth it has commanded, and my spirit it has gathered them. Every scripture has a mate. Every scripture has a mate. And the mate of every scripture operates like a magnet, spiritual magnet, that gravitate towards it. It serves as an authoritative witness on that particular scripture. Now be wary of people who say things that you see. Sometimes you may not read clearly in scriptures that I'm to do this. But you see, the scriptures are full of patterns. Even though if you don't have clear cut examples and incidents, you can have patterns in scripture that you can actually trace the pattern. One day, a young man came to me and said, sir, the Lord told me that I should start a ministry and I can either start from two locations. One of the stand. He said, Akure or Ibadan. I said, well, based on scriptural pattern, the instruction as per location for ministry is always specific. You end up confused. There is a specific, there is a place called there. God said, I'm bringing you to Canaan land. He didn't say, I will either bring you to Canaan land or another land. It was specific. There is a place called there. So don't interpret scriptures in isolation. Number two, avoid controversy. What did I say? What did I say? Those who trained by controversy don't last in the move of God. Controversy. You see, Paul warned against, he said, avoid foolish questions. There are people like that. They want to sound controversial in order to trend. So let me just chip in this. And the thing will go viral. See, you don't know that when you are feeding on wrong doctrine, you are damaging the capacity of your conscience to pick on the frequency of the spirit. You're doing that. There is something being damaged. The scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 3:9. He said, hold them fast the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. So faith cannot work at its best when your conscience is weak. When your conscience is damaged. Avoid controversy. What did I say? I say this often. See, when I'm saying something, I am not sure of something, maybe an example. I avoid it. And I move on. Whatever matter I'm not clear on, I go back into study and get my facts. The scriptures are not assumed, they are revealed. Don't assume them. Avoid controversy. And of course, you can tell me, you can mention all kinds of controversial subjects in scriptures. There are many of them. There are people today, and then there is nothing that is as damaging as a young minister who is just starting out as a ministry, but is already known for controversy. What controversy does for a young ministry is that it takes away 85% of the usefulness of that ministry. People begin to lose confidence in the prospect of that ministry. So anywhere the man of God service on poster, on television, on Facebook, Instagram, wherever, or the product of the ministry is already known for controversy. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now let's give a scripture for that. You know, one of the things I realize in teaching is that there is always a scripture for everything. It may not be clearly stated word for word, but there are scriptural patterns. There are patterns in scripture. There are patterns in scripture. Okay, somebody said, well, why can't a pastor be a polygamist? After all, we call Abraham the father of faith and he had more than one wife. He just posted that on Facebook. And the thing, we go very boom, and everybody start commenting, ah, that's true. That's true. Even the people we quote as our Old Testament example, they had more than one wives. I knew a particular man. He said, there is nothing wrong. It's polygamy. You can, so that means if you are a the settler of the house, do you understand? You have a ministry, a church, you are seated. And then you are seated at the front. You have four wives. Mommy G01, Mommy G02, Mommy G03, Mommy G04. Confusion. Let me say this to us. Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament? Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but it's for the spirit giveth life. Now, you can read that and say, everything about the Old Testament is not correct, is redundant. God has wiped everything out. You need to understand that in the Old Testament, there is such as called the morality of the law and the ceremoniality of the law. What Jesus blotted out was the ceremonial part of the law, which concern pertain to worship. The morality of the law, which has to do with moral probity and decency, is still upheld in a single code in the New Testament, which is called agape. And that is why it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. Romans 13 and verse 10. Now, you cannot interpret scriptures outside of the constancy of the nature of God or the nature of the Father. You can't do that. Now, you can read in scriptures whereby God said Abraham should take his son, his only son, and go and slaughter him. You know, the issue of Boko Haram, the issue of insurgency, and on the ideological underpinning that drive those, you know, moves, negative satanic moves, the ideology, it stems from wrong interpretation of a document. So somebody said, if I can blow people up, I will have 10 virgins in heaven. Now, that's against the nature of God. So why did God say, Abraham, even though I said, go and slaughter your son, but now, lay not the knife on him. And as he beheld, he saw a ram. And then he made that a sacrifice and he built an altar unto the Lord and he called Jehovah Jireh. In the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. He's teaching us the nature of God, that God is not interested in killing another human being. Wave your hand, somebody. Wave your hand, somebody. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. This is very, very important. This is very important. And then one of the things that a minister, a disservice that a minister can do to himself is to assume that everyone under him, they know everything that he knows. Or people under him, they know everything as per God. No. There are people that have some questions in their hearts. Some questions. They come to church, but there is this question. And then the question is, sir, challengeable. Because this guy had somebody preaching and said, while we were growing up, huh, the power of God was so strong. We'll be going along streets like this and all those sacrifices they put, you know, on at those junctions, we took them. We hate them, bam, bam. And today we are still strong. Balance. I can ask my wife to cook a precious meal for me at home. Why do I want to go and eat sacrifice? Balance. There is always a balance to everything. We just pick a scripture, take it out of the, take it to the extreme and begin to run with it. Somebody went back on fasting, 300 days fasting. Without a word. Now let me say this. You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. At the end of the day, everything ended in scripture. After he had ended the fast, the devil came, command these stones to become bread. He could do it. Because if he could turn water to wine, he could do that. But that is a principle. So whoever you obey, you become a servant to. I will not obey the devil. The fact that that instruction is coming from you, I will not obey it. And God is name. I say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Everything that he fasted, though, he prayed. But at the end of the day, he came back to the scripture in order to put the devil where he belonged. And they took him to the pinnacle of the temple and they said, jump down, for it is written. The devil said, well, let's twist the scripture. He shall give his angels charge over thee. They will bear you up in their hands. And Jesus replied with scripture. And he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. You know, some people have taken that scripture literally. And they went, 1992, somebody went to a prophet went to the lion's den at UI. So when they entered the lion's den, they the lion reversed a bit. And he was saying, ja, ja, also. And they pounced on him. But how come Daniel was thrown into the lion? Daniel was not hitting nobody. Daniel did not go to the lion's den voluntarily of his own volition. He was thrown there based on false charges. The justice of God had to come through for him. That is balance. Peter walked on water. So let me go to the barbage. I can walk on it. Where is the balance? Do you have the same rhema word that Peter received? Come. You don't generalize certain things. We have decency. See, you become rock solid. You become strong. No devil can shake you out of your place. When you are grounded in scriptures, you are grounded in scriptures. Please avoid controversy. I wanted to quote that scripture. Now let's look at it. Glory to God. I said glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. If you put the bread in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 23. I want us to read particularly that verse 23. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they engender strife. Amen. Knowing that they do engender strife. Strange questions. Avoid. He said, refuse profane and old wife fables, but exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having a life that is now and then eternal life. The number two now, number two, to my mind, you need to be trained. I will not spend too much time on the remaining point because of time. In the leading of the Spirit. What did I say? The leading of the Spirit. There are people today, they can't differentiate between when the Holy Spirit is speaking to them and when their spirit is speaking to them. So everything is, the Holy Spirit said, everything the Holy Spirit said. You see, you have to be trained. It's about training. Now, let me give this. The scripture tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There are people today that are simple. And it seems to me that the simplest, you know, principles of the kingdom, the most powerful principles of the kingdom are the simplest principles. As simple as it may sound, how to be led by the Spirit. Some people are not trained to pick on the frequency of the Spirit. So now this is the Holy Spirit talking to me. That again said the Lord Jesus told him that there is a voice in the realm of the Spirit that mimics the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is the familiar spirit. Patterns. Let me give you an example. Somebody walks up and says, Pastor, the Lord is leading me to a sister or leading me to a brother. And then, why, if you tell me that, I say, how do you know? I just have a witness of God in my hand. I pray that I have a witness of God. And that's okay. That's okay. Amen. Praise God. That is the way you go about a proposal. Some people say, well, the Lord said, and if you do not accept, you will not fulfill destiny. That's borderdosh. That's not correct. We've heard somebody. Glory to God. That's wrong teaching. So, he said, I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw myself and the sister who were naked on the bed. Yeah, I'm giving an example. Because you need to understand the character of what you are seeing. Is it consistent with the structure of Scripture? With the nature of Scripture? As we hugged each other, we kissed, and the voice said, behold, that is your wife, and from the foundation of the heart, I've brought the two of you together. You will fulfill destiny. You will carry the banner of my glory to the nations of the earth. Blah, blah, blah. And then, but see, there is something questionable. That picture violates the moral sanctity of the nature of God. It violates the moral sanctity of the nature of God. You can, the devil is not powerful in court. The power he has is deception. Devices. So you need to know, this is the Spirit of God talking to me. This is the devil talking to me. Sometimes some people think that the devil will just tell you to do some dumbest thing, some the most foolish things on the earth. Not really. It's not every time that the devil is going to tell somebody, you know, go to the lion's den and go and cast out the devil. The devil knows this guy is smarter than that. He went to school at that level. So, but you bring something that looks so acceptable with intellectual justification. But when you probe further, this is poison. It's a saddle of death. I will not accept it. For instance, what is command these stones to be made bread? As it were, it's not something immoral in court. He was hungry to satisfy himself. And then he didn't say go and sleep with somebody you are not married to. He didn't say that. He didn't say go and jump inside, you know, the river. He didn't say that. Command these stones to become bread. We now begin to scan. This is not the voice of God. Now let me give you this. Sometimes a familiar spirit, just write the scriptures. Acts chapter 16. The scripture says Paul was going on a mission and there was a certain girl that was prophesying. I said, behold, this a man that cometh in the name of the Lord that show us the way of salvation. The scripture says this she did out for many days. And then she was just going, wow, a pastor who is not sound in the spirit, we pick that lady as the prayer band leader. And the moment she becomes a prayer coordinator, she will control the ministry through witchcraft. I judge the ministry, the move of the spirit stops in that ministry. Many days, the scripture says in verse 18. Let's read it. This she did. Look at it. Many days. But Paul, being grieved. What does it mean to be grieved? To be sorrowful. What this guy is saying is nice. But why am I becoming sorrowful? The character of the word of God, the true word of God. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found. And I did eat them. Thy word was unto me. The joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Why the sorrow? This is not the Holy Spirit talking to Paul. This was the spirit of Paul perceiving and then picking on the frequency of the Holy Ghost. No, this is not of God. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out the same how. You know, I've seen some funny things. And I've seen some funny things. And people bastardize the prophetic ministry. Praise God. So somebody's preaching or prophesying. And somebody stands here with a microphone. Prophesy! The man prophesies. Open my file! Which file? It goes so bad, a woman has been hired and stand there. They call her Mama Tony. So the pastor we have, Mama Tony. I say, preach on my pastor, prophesy. And you see, people become so gullible. It's against the character. See, when we stay with the ethics of scripture, the propensity to be misled into error, we reduce practically, is error. We just walk in biblical ethics. Working with biblical ethics. But I command thee, come out in the name of Jesus. And maybe that lady must have dramatized. And then she came out. There is another twist to it though. And the scripture says Paul was arrested. Because the masters of that girl, they were making money through that gift. So again, it has violated another scriptural principle. Because the gift of God is not for merchandising. Freely you have received, then freely give. This is very, very important. These are the things that keep us balanced and make us to stay relevant in the work of the ministry. Familiar spirit. A voice you are praying, fasting, under the Sekha Baladiya Makara, Shelemana Maya, and you suddenly hear a voice, my son. You see, by the time the devil calls you my son, you are in trouble. And he said, my son, the way I'm going to use your ministry in this 21st century, it will relegate and make redundant all the ministries that came before you. In fact, you will write some books. All the books that Kenneth Hagin wrote, Kenyon wrote, they will become irrelevant. And the guy comes out of the counter, he's excited. God doesn't talk like that. God is not irresponsible. He's a responsible God. He will not destroy a move or the former glory because of bringing out another glory. He will bring a greater glory to surpass a former glory because it's a principle of advancement in the things of the Spirit. So you know, this is not the Spirit of God. This is not the Spirit of God. So, there are people like that. Some people have ended up in the penitentiary as I speak by hearing strange voices. in a mental asylum because he had a voice. And then, little wonder, that's why the operations of the gift of the Spirit, if not tempered by the Spirit of Christ, can actually divide the local church. Administration of the gifts is superior in tempering than the manifestation of the gifts. So that's why in 1 Corinthians 12, manifestation. 13, motivation, love. 14, chapter 14, administration. As to how. So three people cannot stand up and begin to pray at the same time. I've seen those things when we were younger and somebody came up, just hear the Lord, I'm the Lord, I'm the Lord, I'm the Lord, I'm going to move mightily. Another person picks it up from there. Ha, 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 ha. Keep quiet. Will you not allow me to speak? Sometimes you correct such people, they get angry and they leave church. 7 years down the line, you cannot trace them within the firmament of the body of Christ. The move of God. They are just off the radar. Because to stay relevant in the move of God, you must know how to discern the voice of the Spirit. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 19. And then verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 19. And then verse 20. Amen. And when they shall see unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizard the peep, the mortar, should not a people seek unto their God for the living, for the dead? And he said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, I want to say this. The health of your conscience can either facilitate your reception of the leading of the Spirit or obliterate it. Very important. Your conscience. There are certain things you do. You think that you just take them for granted. In the words of some people, moti gel on here, that they just, I've just done it. I've had my way. But something has been damaged in your conscience. There is a place of conscience. The conscience is a voice of the human spirit. Then in Romans chapter 9 verse 1, look at what Paul said. I say the truth in Christ. Romans chapter 9 verse 1. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. For instance, a pastor who is given to exaggerations. And then the first time he attempts to exaggerate, the conscience pricks him. I don't say it that way. It's not a big deal. You can do something along that line. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. Something happened to your conscience and you repeat the same thing. So if the devil want to cage you and double cross you, using that medium, your conscience is too weak to pick on the frequency of the spirit. And I tell people, you have to train your spirit now. God uses simple things to train us for the more weightier things of life. So why God is laying on your heart, do this. I mean, God just said, when you come to church, you know, sow a seed to your pastor. When you come to send a testimony to this sister. Just say, how are you doing? And like, but they are too simple for you. And then after you have disobeyed that, 2-3 days after, the sister called, and then my mind has been, you know, coming towards you. And you told, I say, wow. And I've been thinking of you too. The Holy Spirit was training you that to know how to undo those silent communications at the micro level so that you will not fall down the macro level. That's the pattern. The God who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the bear, will deliver me from your hand. God uses those things. And then you just speak. And then you just speak. And then you just speak. Very, very important. Glory to God. So the conscience. Jesus was not just full of the Spirit. He was also led by the Spirit. So there is a voice of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 10 verse 19, the Holy Spirit told Peter, three men sick day. There is a voice of your spirit you perceive. Paul said, I perceive. Now, so you need to use those words accurately. Because if you are not trained here, you may not become relevant in the move of the Spirit. One day you will come up with something that looks like God is leading you, and that thing will lead you out of the agenda of God for your life. And that is why you need to be trained there. The number three, the devil. The devil was talking to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. We remember that. Glory to God. Now, the leading of the Spirit, we always synchronize with the nature of Christ. And I said again that there are biblical, you may not see instructions are always in the context of biblical patterns. Now, in other words, you may not see clearly in scripture, go to Port Harcourt, go to Abuja, you may not see Port Harcourt or Abuja in the scripture, but you can see that God leads people from one location to the other. And that is why it is not correct to say that God does not lead people again. We blew it. We blew it out of context. It's not only in marriage that He leads us. He leads us in our everyday life. Everything that concerned us, He leads us. The number three is what I call spiritual flexibility. Spiritual flexibility. Can somebody say flexibility? Say louder, says flexibility. You have to be flexible. You have to be flexible. If you are not flexible, you are rigid. The Holy Spirit cannot walk with you. Sometimes it moves you from the familiar to the unfamiliar, but your anchor word, trust, will be the word of God. I know the one who has sent me. And then you have that assurance, that peace, that note of peace in your spirit. Now, flexibility. There was a time Peter had an encounter and he saw a ship let down from heaven. And four foot beast moving up and down. And the word of the Lord said, arise, kill and eat. And then he said, not so, Lord. Now that was a great apostle. His Jewish nationalistic instinct was overtaking his spiritual perception to the realities of God. And he doubted it. You can read it up in Acts chapter 10. And God was moving his ministry to open it to the Gentiles. To preach to Cornelius. And then eventually he went reluctantly and then he started preaching. God did not allow him to finish the message until the Spirit landed. So we don't know what caused that. Probably God felt that if this man continues his sermon, maybe at the end of the sermon, he will tell them, even though I'm not supposed to come here, because you guys are Jews and they're Gentiles. And then the Holy Spirit just took over and the rest says history. Be flexible. You don't need to be rigid. God has several ways. Hebrews 1:1. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoken to the fathers by the prophet, as in this last day spoken to us by His Son. If you are not flexible, you are not usable. You need to be flexible in the hand of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be able to trust you that if I tell you to do this, there was a time David wanted to pursue some enemies and the Lord told him that he shouldn't go. And he has again, the Lord told him that he should, until he hears a sound on the mulberry trees, that he should go. And he went and recovered all. Flexibility. You lay aside your prejudice. You lay aside your idiosyncrasy. There are people today, they have a prejudice. I can never live in Lagos. Not because God told them, but because they hate the traffic situation in Lagos. I can never marry a pastor. Because his parents were pastors, and the people they pastored were not taught well. So they just did ministry. He saw first-hand experience. He saw what we could call a wilderness experience. If they needed toothbrush or toothpaste, he saw how the dad would confess the word for 7 hours to bring forth the toothbrush or toothpaste. He saw it. I can never marry a pastor. And now that's become a strong God. You have got to let it go. And the Holy Spirit said, well, and some people say, well, I've not heard the voice of God. No. The Holy Spirit has spoken, but your prejudice has become a bottleneck, a barricade. In the area where you have prejudice, you will not hear the voice of the Spirit. Even if he's speaking very clearly, audibly. Somebody said, well, I know some people have given, they have the grace to give. I just have the grace to receive. I don't have the grace to give. He's stingy. And a muscle. I've never been led of God to give. No. You have been led. The scripture has led you to give. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Has led you to give. The reason you have not, why do you think some people are so flexible? They come out today, the Lord said we should give this. The Lord said we should give this. Pastor said we should give this. They are flexible in such areas. The Holy Spirit, and you see God transforming their lives along. There are people that have never had anything because they are so stinkingly stingy and the thing has become a stronghold. And the Holy Ghost is trying to penetrate. They are trying to erect the wall. And it's not getting through to them. We need to be flexible in the hand of the Holy Spirit. At the time they came to Jesus, your friend Lazarus is dead. And he spoke out and said, Lazarus is not dead, he will rise again. Huh? And he waited for 2 days. Now, he was not in the haste, he was flexible. Now, one day Bishop David goes shared a testimony that I think a church member was sick and he went with 2 pastors. As they were about to enter the house, he said the alarm rang. Bow! Don't enter. And he told the pastor, he said, see, I just got a signal now not to go there. However, if any one of you is led, you are free. Your general overseer said it's not led. You're a man under authority. You said you are led. Scriptural pattern. The man went in, prayed. 2 weeks after that, he mistook acid for water. Some things are very delicate. Some things are very delicate. We need to be flexible. The hand of the, and there are people that are afraid to go and pray on a particular thing. They are even preempting God. Me well or pray. Because God will say I should do it. Now, you see, if you are doing all of that, you are doing yourself a disservice. Because you've been limiting the capacity of your spirit to key and to flow in the frequency of God. Don't preempt God. Whatever you say, you say. Whatever you say, I should do, I do. Wherever you send me, Lord, I go. A servant is not greater than his master. At a point, Paul wanted to go to Bethania to preach. The spirits said they shouldn't go. Suffer them not to go. The door opened in Macedonia. And he said they gathered that God wanted them to go. Flexibility. We should not become rigid. There are people, there are churches today that God just said, just a little adjustment in your structures. You can just do this. They said, no, this is how we have been doing it. This is what we have been doing. And this is what God said we should be. It was not really God that said it. You saw it somewhere, you liked it, you implemented it, and God said, okay, you can do it this way. There are people like that, and they will never change. They will never change if they don't open up their hearts to the Lord. We need to be spiritually flexible. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Glory to God. There are 4 categories of people in the move of God. Along this line, number one, the resistance in the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Some people will resist it. They'll resist it. They're not flexible. They're not flexible. You know, when this move of throwing started in the body of Christ, and the man of God will stand on the altar, remove his suit, and throw. Bam! And then you see like 3/4 of the congregation down. So people say, what is this one? But the scripture tells us, when they wanted to arrest Jesus, he spoke, said, I am he. And when he spoke that word, everybody fell down. That is a pattern in scripture. There's a pattern in scripture. We need to be flexible. And it's also affecting the body of Christ. God is bringing new ministries to bless the body. Healing ministry, great healing ministries. And they say, well, that's not how it is done. And somebody else said, praise the Lord, let the whole hear his voice, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice, oh, come to the Father. And then, you see, people, you're healed, blah, blah, blah. Some people say, is this so easy? They are not flexible. They are not flexible. We need to be flexible. Amen. So, Others mocking. I said, these men are full of new wine. Number two, the spectators. There are people that were just spectating. They will stand, you know, aloof. Number three, that's Acts chapter 2 verse 12. They're indifferent. They're just indifferent. We've not heard about the Holy Spirit. Then number four, the participant. Number four now. Now let's begin to, you know, rush this. The faith walk. Whatever God is going to tell you to do in the midst of the move to take advantage of divine possibilities, it will only happen by faith. Can somebody say by faith? Can somebody say by faith? Say louder, say by faith. God said, okay, move into this territory, this area of ministry. And he said, Lord, I've not done it before. You have to take it by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to train yourself in the rudiments and the dynamics of faith. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he should have to receive an inheritance, he obeyed. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew the one who sent him. So you have got to believe and then have enough faith. There are people in the move of God that should have entered into greater dimensions of the assignments. But because those things, one, may not be popular, they are just afraid, they are not keen into it by faith. God says, okay, open, hold this meeting. I said, if I hold this meeting, who will come? Move to this location. Who will do this? Now you have to go there by faith. You have to develop your faith life. Number five. Let me quickly talk to us about relationship management. Can someone say relationship? Let's say again, say relationship. One more time, relationship. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the word that I have called them. God called them. They didn't call each other. So it was God's predetermined counsel for them to be together. And let me say this to you. It appears to me that those covenant linkages in your life, they are prime targets of the devil. If you don't protect your covenant linkages, you open yourself to spiritual leakages. You need to understand that. Acts chapter number 15, on account of Silas and John Mark, Paul and Barnabas got separated. Now, the day God called the two of them to be together, John Mark was not there. Silas was not there. They allowed a third party to infiltrate and to break the relationship. Let me say this for free. There are people today, yes, we don't rely on men. But you see, God has designed in his wisdom that certain relationships, we actually advance the course of the grace of God upon our lives to the end that generations are blessed. And the devil will see to it that those relationships are destroyed. Bring all sorts of strife and offenses, assumptions and permutations and propaganda. It is your responsibility to protect the linkages. Let me say this. In ministry, and I say this again, it's been said, you know, maybe in another mode and fashion at this conference, ministry relationships, I think it was Apostle that said it, are not based on results. They are based on calling. Can somebody say calling? Can somebody say calling? You know, I see some shenanigans going on in some parts of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. God brought two of you together in ministry. Another friend comes, or maybe another linkage on the vertical level, ministerial relationship. And because of that, you broke a relationship. I see that happen. When that happens, I see that people do that as spiritual rookies and ministerial neophytes. They are spiritual rookies and ministerial neophytes. I call the two of you together. So, the issue is this. You have two friends in ministry. Are you following me? A friend has a spiritual father. Another friend has a spiritual father. Both fathers, they are fathers in their own right in the body of Christ. They may not even belong to the same stream. But did God call the two of you together? Now, if you say, okay, I cannot relate with you because your spiritual father is not in my stream. I see those things happening. We are calling the wisdom of God into question. The most important thing for me to do as a friend to my friend is to honor the grace of God upon the life of his spiritual father. I am not obligated. I am not obligated under God to say, okay, because this person's father, this person is the friend to my spiritual father, I have to go and submit myself under him too. No, it doesn't have to be. But I must honor him. Anyone who dishonors your father is not your friend. These are some of the things we need to sound, because there is this mindset. You have 1,000 members. Somebody has 100 members. We can't be friends. We allow results to dictate the pace of relationships. And we are having ministers having heartaches. And they're having high blood pressure. Betrayers. Fractional breakaways. Segregation. Schism. Factional spirit. And we have all those things happening. You have to be careful. And look into the leakage, the linkages in your life. Glory to God. God, and he submitted to a father. I mean, we have had it, Pastor Ayo, you know what's saying it here. The founder of redeemed. Now, and he was interpreting for the man. This thing is by divine ordination. This thing is by what? This thing is by what? Divine ordination. A lot of things are happening. They break my heart. They touch the hearts of Jesus, the head of the church. Let me even come to the realm of social media. Let me come. Let me. Now, I believe I'm free. I'm free. All right. You put up a post on Facebook. So I just bruise in and I sit with it and I read. I make note and bless. Wow. 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 I'm blessed. But I cannot click the like button. Not because the man who wrote the post is not a man of God, but because my spiritual father must not know. My friends must know. So today, we are raising a company of Nicodemuses in the body of people follow Nicodemusly. They will follow you behind. They will dissociate from you on the outside. Publicly. It is called hypocrisy. And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Sometimes the truth is very bitter. But we have to say it the way it is. We have to say it the way it is. If you have conviction that God is calling me together to be with this man, I defend you anywhere. But I want to bring you for a meeting. Hey, if my spiritual friend, God is leading me to bring you for a meeting to come and preach for me. But if my mentor, my spiritual father, sees this guy on the poster, I mean, so what's wrong with the guy? The guy is not arrogant. The guy is just doing me. The only thing that the guy, he does not belong to that stream, but he honors the stream. How do you want to do that? You know, let me say this to you. I know a friend who invited me for a meeting. That first quarter was a bit filled, and I said, how was he going to come? And then, so, eventually he called me. He said, you may not be coming again. Why? Because you will appear on the poster. So what is the issue? I said, you see, it's because I have a large heart. If you try this with another friend, the relationship is over. You don't honor covenant. In ministry, we walk by conviction, not by convenience. We don't play to the gallery. Everyone I'm drinking from, my father and the Lord knows them. By God's grace, God has blessed me with a couple of sons in ministry. I don't run people's ministries for them. I don't. We cannot replace God in the lives of people. We can't replace the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. We can't provide people. And this guy is having some dealings of God moving this direction. But there are restrictions. I say, let's go and learn from history. Go and read the story of John Alexander Dewey and Maria Woodward-Etta. How God was bringing a kind of a synergy. But let me just leave it there. We need to understand that some of these things that we fight over, we try to protect vested interest. We are not in a political party. We are in a family, spiritual family. It's a family thing. Can somebody say family thing? Say Lord, say family thing. One more time, say family thing. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, some people are not just working in some place, warm in the places. Praise the Lord. A sister wanted to marry one of my sons in ministry. And then, you see, we have to be smart. You understand? And then, the sister loved the brother, but the sister does not love me. It can't work. Somebody raised this brother to that level, and you saw grace on his life, you desire this emoji! Somebody labored over him, and I said, you are coming in now, you want to, I said, well, there is no need to do anything. It didn't work out. You can't just go against some principles of the kingdom. Relationships are very key. All right, let's begin to hit the home stretch. Amen. I believe we got something there. Number 6, the fundamentals of discipleship. Every apostle has been a disciple. You cannot be an apostle if you are not a disciple. The apostles of Jesus were disciples. He chose the apostles and out of them he made disciples. You can read that Luke chapter 6 verse 13 and one of you. Glory to God. Now we saw everyone, we saw Philip, he was a disciple, and then he became an evangelist. So you have to go through the process. Number 7, discerning the body of Christ, betraying the net. You can refer to last night's teaching, I taught last night on it. So the structural configuration of the body of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, Lot was not wise. He got connected to Abraham and he separated himself. He was not a wise man. Number 8, you have to be trained in spiritual warfare. Let me say this to you. If you don't understand the act of spiritual warfare in the ministry, you are out of ministry already. I'm not just talking about doing some of scriptural things. I'm talking about pulling down strongholds, you know, breaking strongholds and the likes, renewing your mind with the word, and taking the shield of faith in order to wage a good warfare against the wicked one. You can read the following scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, 2 Timothy 4, 7, Ephesians 6, verse 16. Amen. The number 9 is what I call spiritual strength and stamina. At a point in your life, the physical realities around you will want to betray the convictions you have in your spirit. You need to be strong. There are people, I know a pastor who started a church, and then because people were not coming, he just closed down the church. The Sunday he closed down the church, partners came from Lagos, they brought money, but it was nowhere to be found. All of us, that again was a great faith preacher, he said, a teacher of the word, the father of the faith movement, he said, challenges of life come to all of us. At a time you pray, you prophesy, sometimes you will go through a season in your life, sometimes, that you have emergency fastings. You didn't plan to fast, you have to fast compulsorily. Because if you didn't even plan to fast, what do you want to eat? So you will now turn everything to fasting. And now pray, Shalabaka, you're now, you know, and things begin to open up. Praise God. So you have to develop spiritual strength and stamina. There is nothing that is as discouraging as people that you feel should believe in you, they do not believe you. And some of them demarket you, but you see, you must know the one whom you have believed. We just added this morning. You must know the one whom you have believed. I believe the grace of God upon my life. Can somebody say that? Say louder. He said, none of these things move me, neither can't I my life unto myself, lest that I may finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of him to testify of the gospel of his grace. Acts chapter 20 verse 24. Finally, as we pray, the love walk. Please keep walking in love. Keep walking in love. Don't get offended that God is using your friend or that God is using somebody in a particular area. Just be part. Is it the success of one is the success of all. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Keep walking in love. There'll be propaganda. There'll be all sorts of things that will come against you. But you see, keep walking in love. There are people that will say things behind you and they can't say before you, and those things are not true. You don't need to make any explanation. Just keep walking in love. Don't let anyone get you into offense. Don't get offended at your pastor. The pastor is preaching and he gave a word of knowledge by the Spirit. And it fits into your situation. You say, well, somebody has told the pastor and he got offended. Don't get offended. Just keep walking in love. No matter the contradictions, no matter what is going on, no matter what people do, don't let your reaction be based on people's reaction. Let your action be based on the revelation of the word of God in your spirit. Act out the word of God in your spirit. Just keep loving them. Just keep praying. Amen. And one thing I notice is this. If you see a man who is walking by the word, by the principles of the word, and people are criticizing and berating him, but the man keeps advancing, go and check it out. There is a love walk somewhere. There is something that is a secret that people do not know. I went to preach for a great music minister in this country. And as I was going, the Lord gave me a word for him. And as I stood, I said, this is what the Lord said to me. The Lord was just going for that meeting. All of us know the person I'm talking about. God just opened our hearts in the spirit. I just saw our hearts in the spirit. Let's see, it is one thing to do certain things, you know, maybe by temperament, they just happen as oversight. It's another thing to have a heart. I said, that heart. So this person has been in the music ministry for over 20 years, and yet with all, and she has experienced all kinds of criticisms, but she keeps advancing, and grace keeps lifting her. Walk in love. What did I say? Where you feel you are embittered against someone, just take it to God in prayer. Go and sow a seed. Go and sow a seed. But let me quickly balance that. Don't associate with people who do not believe in what you carry. Walk in love, but don't compromise the integrity of your calling. Walk in love, but don't compromise the integrity of what you carry. Because at the end of the day, you are going to be at the receiving end. May the Lord give us understanding. I believe I've not bored us this morning. And I believe we got something this morning. Please, can we rise to our feet this morning? Can we rise to our feet this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And just pray to be relevant. To be relevant. Shelamahsabara. Sembranangadas. Lekaparosatayada. Lengrambongo. Sibdenekla. Sibradige. Lestebrondes. Just pray, pray, pray. Pray today. The Lord, I want to stay relevant. I will be relevant. Whatever you are doing in my generation, I will be a part of it. In the name of Jesus, I will be a part of it. Send the brange shataya. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Shibaba makote zalabaya kara. Send the lebrana mango sebrenian. Jekle sobrena kambranaze. Guide me, Lord. We have had so many teachings. As a matter of fact, when I was scanning in the spirit, the things going on here, I saw the kind of deposit in this conference. Money cannot buy. Money cannot buy. Money cannot buy. It's like God bringing so many conferences together, so many meetings, and condensing into one. We have received grace. You must take advantage of these teachings, these things you have received of the Lord. It will hold you accountable on the measure of life that is available to you. Sambala boga sandele bredega. Celebrana mangas. Lengra monga naya. Shendele bro seke de baya. Jembrunda gaza zandala bramba bamba manda dande. Jambra manda dan brandede. Shembra manda granda bambra mande. Jebra bamana grasa zendede. I will go all the way, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Shendele brededededededededededededededededede. Shambramanaya. I follow the Spirit of God. Choir, please, can you help me? How can you walk when you do not know the way of the wind? That's why take that song. Leramo Sayanga. Shalaba. Lift your hands, everyone. Yerebo has celebrated. Spirit of God, help me. Shelebayaka. Ramayanose.
How can you
Rekakasa. Love? Just keep praying, somebody.
When you don't know Ramakasa. The way
of going.
Ramando
konde.
How can you run when you don't know the way of the Spirit?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
How can you fly when you don't know the way of the wind? It's the power at work in you, bringing
everything in obedience to God.
Lift your hands, everyone.
Bringing everything in obedience to God. How can you run? You run when you don't know the way. And how can you fly? How can you fly when you don't know the way of the wind? It's the power at work in you, bringing everything in obedience to Christ.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.